Thank you for choosing to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. In a myriad and plethora of other podcast conversations you could be choosing, we are really grateful that you chose to click on our link. And why should you choose to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast? Well, not least because we have honest, open, insightful conversations with leaders from across the recruitment industry and beyond. We often invite people on who are leaders and experts in markets and sectors that we believe we can all truly learn from. Just a word of thanks to our sponsor, Pager, and to our proud partners, Needy and Inclusion Crowd, and a warm welcome to our new partner, Keybridge IT. More about all of those later on in the show. So without further ado, let's get to know this week's guest. This week's guest is an absolute firm favourite of mine, and I was so excited to invite her on to a show that she is an avid fan of, like you listening now. She listens to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast every week. We were quite short on time due to her schedule being so busy, so we promise you that even though you're in for a very succinct episode, we will be inviting her back on later on in the year, hopefully. But this is Mel Sedgley, who is the founder of Edge. And during this great conversation, we talk around her journey into becoming a head of people and culture and why everything starts with understanding what our culture is. How do we know? Is it just the words on the wall? And why it's the most important part of a people-centric business. How do we achieve our blue sky culture as business owners in relation to our EVP and make sure it's not just buzzwords that we're using? How do we ensure that we're hiring and retaining the best future talent for our businesses? And then what are the three top things that we should be looking for when either defining or choosing to work for a high-performing culture? I promise you, you're in for a great episode. Get your notepad out, and I promise you she'll be back. So without further ado, let's jump into the episode. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes, and for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link, pager.co, to book your demo, and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host of the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, and I am so excited to welcome to our guest spot today somebody who I've had the absolute pleasure to know on a professional level for a very long time, but I've also got to know on a personal level recently over the last few months. And I think if you're on LinkedIn and you're anything to do with recruitment, I'm hoping you've seen this person's profile, but let's get to know the real person. So without further ado, welcome to you today, Mel Sedgley, founder of Edge. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you, Leisha. And thank you for that lovely introduction. It still feels really surreal referring to myself as a founder. It's wild, but...
Are you looking around the room going, who, me?
Who, me? Little old me, am I really in this position? But yeah, no, thank you so much for having me on.
And I know that you were saying off camera very kindly that you have been part of our community as a listener for a very long time. And that's always really nice to hear that when somebody comes on as the guest. So you kind of know the vibe and the format. The first thing we want to know is, the people who do not yet know who you are professionally and personally, tell us a little bit about your story and your journey to Edge.
Absolutely. Okay, so I have been in the recruitment industry now 11 years, although I've had a hiatus to do talent acquisition for FTSE 250, AO.com. They were part a household name, and it felt like the right time after I had a little bit of an intro to 360. But I then found my way back into kind of recruitment agency life. My last role was with a global recruitment company called Oscar. And I went into that in 2018 to essentially found the internal recruitment function. And my role just naturally grew. I mean, when I look at the journey, it was a roller coaster. It was wild, but it was really exciting. And I think, you know, if I look at why I got into recruitment, it was very based on, I didn't go down that conventional route. So I didn't have a degree. I needed to earn money quick and fast. And my background was selling additional lines to Vodafone. So when I look at kind of that introduction, it really, really that actually I found an opportunity to build the skills that I had, which was building relationships with people. And ultimately, as part of that, it led me to Oscar. So I started my career at Finley Jones, from the grassroots up, really, really training, and then did a couple of years in AO.com, building out their sales function from the internal recruitment side. And then I found myself working at Oscar for just under 6 years. So in the time I joined the business, there was 46. By the time I exited, there was 160.
Wow.
Brands we opened when I joined, there was 3 offices. By the time I exited, there was 7. So, you know, being instrumental in kind of a business in the highest growth was incredible, which naturally kind of elevated me to head of people and culture. And then, unfortunately, in November, I was made redundant. You know, the talent, internal talent, and people functions kind of have taken a little bit of a hit. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, me and my team were no longer required. So it kind of took me to a route where the opportunities that were presenting themselves to me were very kind of 2 sides of the coin. The first side was very, very people orientated, HR, here's your caseload, going on with it, or opportunities where, you know, I have future proof myself, hopefully I'm working with brand and my reputation. So I think people followed my journey when now they have conversations with me about how could potentially you support us to build out our employer brand, to get some really good people on board. But then because of the year last year, there necessarily been that forecast into someone's budget to hire a more luxurious role ahead of people or ahead of internal talent. So I didn't want to go down that conventional people route. Yes, I am a people professional, but I also a salesperson, just with a people's approach. And the recruitment opportunities that I was really, really interested in, there wasn't that need for me.
For full-time, no.
But maybe there wasn't that kind of forecast to bring someone on like me in a full-time opportunity. So I started going out and meeting with founders of recruitment companies and understanding their pain points and challenges, and you know, mostly that came down to hiring and identifying and attracting the right people, retaining those people, creating a platform where they can be the best versions of themselves, but unlock, you know, everybody wants high performance cultures.
Absolutely.
All I did at Oscar, and you know, in previous roles as well, you know, when I look at what I achieved at AO.com, joined the business, I think there was about 50 on the sales floor. By the time I exited, there was over 100, and we'd moved opposite 5 floors. You know, we were on 1 floor, we were over 5 floors. So I understand how to navigate, you know, that the kind of the fundamental components of scaling a business, what's required, what's important. And having those conversations with founders, I thought there's a gap in the market for me to go and partner with companies, to consult, to handhold or hands-on approach with actually how can we help elevate your business. So I'm actually sat here today on client site for a business that I'm supporting, Chroma Recruitment. I met Zach, who's the founder. I know he's been
on the pod. He's been on the pod in 2023. Hi, Zach.
So yeah, he's incredible and a true example of the type of business leaders that I want to partner with. You know, really important that they invest in the future, understand the bigger picture, don't see their, you know, talent, HR, people function, operation function as, you know, we have to have. It's actually we need to have.
The need is the need rather than the nice to have.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
So working with these guys now for the next 3 months and, you know, kind of business improvement processes and, you know, they're an incredible business. So
I love the way that you've surmised what I know that we've talked, you know, but when we've met in the, you know, previous months in person, I should hasten to add that you've been very succinct with that. And I think what really comes across is that you have got a very eclectic set of skills because you've obviously come from, you know, like you say, sales into recruitment sales, internal, you know, growing out a sales function internally, and then moving into what was, you know, it grew into this head of people and culture. And I think that the fact is, you talk about bigger picture and the strategy and the business relationships that clearly you're going to now going forward with other fellow founders like Zach at Chroma. But actually, it's the small detail of if you get the people and the culture right, everything else follows from that. And I think so often, obviously, you and I share one thing in common, which is that we're both partnering recruitment business owners. That's what we do. That's where it usually goes wrong, because they're misguided by, we've got a culture, or we don't need a culture, I don't need to change my culture, or my culture's this, and it says this on the wall, look. Or, you know, it's got stuff on here. By the way, this isn't my office. It's just one that I rent to do the pod. I just like to say it's a bit cheesy. I don't even know what it says. But that's the point, isn't it? That companies don't take into account that if you get your culture right as a starting point, that's where the journey to this kind of blue sky scenario is.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that we've evolved massively in the industry. You know, I hear culture, employee value proposition, you know, kind of... I hear business leaders talking about these things as important more than I ever have. Mm-hmm. Clearly there's an appetite for it, but I still think there is a lot of work to do, not just in the recruitment industry, but, you know, in any industry, on actually providing a place where people can truly be successful. And it's one thing, and it's one thing having the values plastered on the walls, and it's, you know, one thing having the tick box, but what does that actually mean? You know, what is your identity, and how can you showcase to the world what that
so how is? Do we know how do, so let's say I'm your target customer, how do I know what my culture actually is? Let's say I'm an SME and, you know, been trading 5-6 years. How do I know what my culture is? Is it something I'm dictating, or is it what my employees are telling me?
Well, I think, first of all, like, that's a really good question to ask. But, you know, I'd be looking at, well, when I set my business up 6 years ago, hypothetically, let's say, why did I do that? What did I want to be known for? What was the identity that I wanted to place? And actually, what values then are indicative of how I've achieved that? So almost kind of going back to the grassroots. And this is where I think businesses go on transformation journeys. Cultures can evolve, cultures can change, and that's not a bad thing, but it's about being open and almost receptive to kind of looking back on that journey. You know, that can change. Your vision, your mission statement can change, but
it does.
Do? And then as you grow your business, that's when you touched on, which I think is really important, utilizing the employee voice. And there's a lot of nervous feelings around doing surveys and checking up with your employees, because actually, and I've worked with people that have said, let's not ask questions that we don't want the answers to. Mm. Well, that's the way that truly we can get the data. Mm. And I think, you know, your employees, your biggest brand advocate, so they're the people that you want to be shouting how good it is to work there. So ultimately, you need to understand what they think in the first place in order to reshape or redefine.
I think any leader that is actually thinking, you know, burying their head in the sand, have you heard of something called Glassdoor? I mean, I personally don't. I'm a bit like that with TripAdvisor, you know, or Google reviews. I will take every, I'll either go and read all the reviews or I'll just take it in. Mm-hmm. I'll take it all on face value, really. And I'm a bit of a pinch of salt kind of person. But I think that's really important. I think that whatever the size and scale of your business, if you're listening now as a leader thinking, well, you know, I don't need to do that. That's not something, you know, I can see that they're happy. You know, we've got a great culture. Well, actually, have you? Are you getting that feedback? Are you asking for anonymous feedback? What do people truly believe when they're speaking to clients? I've had so many, I mean, obviously my day job as a rec, why are people coming to me? They're coming to me because there's a misalignment of culture and values. That is, because you could say it's leadership, you could say, you know, I'm not getting paid enough, but this is all to do with your culture, right?
Absolutely. It's so important. And you touched on something there with Glassdoor. And I think a lot of the time we can be short-sighted to what Glassdoor is. When I look at Glassdoor, yes, you know, you can get a good deal for the company to a degree, you know, going through some change, you're going to get reviews or, you know, some different ones, but usually if it's a good place to work, career consistency with a couple of negative ones thrown in. But actually Glassdoor is amazing for employer brand, and a lot of companies don't understand how to utilize that to help attract future talent to the business. You know, there's so much you can do around promoting the company page, utilizing it for, you know, your job descriptions. And I just think that there's so much kind of untapped potential.
Yeah.
Where leaders go, oh, I don't need to ask people to do Glassdoor reviews. Well, why not? Because the majority of recruitment businesses actually want to attract graduate and trainee talent. So if I'm a trainee or if I'm a graduate and I'm businesses, one of the first things I'm doing is going on Glassdoor. The second thing I'm doing is actually I'm probably going on TikTok, because that's where I'm doing research. So again, it opens, you know, such an opportunity for our businesses promoting who they are, what the culture is like, you know, who's who's demonstrating truly, you know, this is what it's like to work here.
So you're living and breathing it. That's what, I mean, that to me is what EVP means. And I think it's such a you know, it gets used all the time. It gets totally like underutilized in a lot of ways, because for me, you know, use your testimonial, give examples of people that have had succession, you know, through the business, that have worked with you since they were a trainee. They're the stories we want to hear, right? And that's meaningful, but you want to hear from their voice. You want it to be authentic rather than a dictatorial. Because I think, again, you know, and I'm obviously, I think anyone that chooses to listen to a podcast, I would like to think has a growth mindset and has an open mindset and wants to have a high performing mindset. And I'm going to ask you this next question, actually, but, you know, if we think about creating that utopia of a high performing culture, it's that honest, open dialogue and communication, so that leaders know what people, that your brand advocates, are actually thinking and feeling in relation to the culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important. And, you know, you touched on something there with leadership. And I think that the companies now, you know, EVP, having that employee value proposition correct and linked down is really, really important. Yeah, that is really, truly, if you're looking, if you've maybe got a me in the business that can, you know, kind of give data insights, share what other businesses are doing, challenge an employee value. You know, you see things like I said, holiday, healthcare, you know, what does that actually mean? What do you get?
Yeah. For
those? So I think it's having someone to challenge or being open. Then second to that, it's that leadership piece, you know, a utopia, blue sky culture. It does really, really kind of shrink it down from your leaders. So if I look at some of the best leaders I've worked with, they give that space for their people to make mistakes,
yeah,
to be creative, giving creative license to go and do things. And actually, they lead from the front. And so they're not just a delegator, but they show their sleeves up, and they're able to, you know, kind of give that context to, well, this is what makes successful. So people then feel empowered and confident
and inspired
to go and do it themselves. So I think PVP is one thing, but actually when you get someone in the business, if we look at that onboarding process, you know, be very, very varied between, you know, supported and that inclusivity piece, but actually given the space to learn, to make mistakes. Because I think if I look at some really, really good recruiters that I've worked with, where I know I work, a lot of the time they've left because they felt like they don't have a voice, or they don't feel confident enough to make mistakes. Right. When they've gone to another environment and they've been phenomenal, but they've just maybe been a little bit suffocated or a product of the environment in that particular
thing. That's, you know, when we talk about culture, and obviously it's a massive topic on LinkedIn, particularly around people like yourself that are leading the charge with this, we talk about the term psychological safety. And I think the room to fuck up, because at the end of the day, that is where you learn your most important lessons in life. And some of the most successful people have made the biggest mistakes. And it's being able to say, you know, I'll give a very little story here so we don't run over on time, but my very first month in recruitment, and I had success in my first week. I actually don't know how I did it. I think it was genuinely luck. I made a placement in my first week. And then the second week, I remember sending out an engineer and ringing, you know, selling my candidate into the client. And he started asking me questions about his technical ability. And I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I hadn't had any training or induction, by the way. And I sent him out for the interview anyway, because it meant I hit my send out target for the week. And of course, he totally balls it in the interview. He didn't have any skills. The client rang me, absolutely leathered me on the phone. And I had to go and tell my boss, because basically he was basically saying he was never going to partner with the company again, because I'd lied about what this guy could do. But I owned it, and I just said, I'm really sorry. I said, it's actually my second week. And when you were asking me these questions, I think I thought I knew what I was talking about, and I clearly didn't. I'm really sorry. And I went to my directors and I just said, I've really screwed up. I don't understand what he was asking me. Can someone sit and explain it all to me? And I never made that mistake ever again. If anyone ever asked me it was a very technical question. I said, I actually don't know the answer to that question. Let me go and ask my candidate and I'll come back to you. And so, but I immediately felt safe. And I think there are so many recruiters where, you know, if you're listening to this now and you've ever been in an environment where you have not felt safe enough to go, Jesus, that candidate's not taking the job now, and I'll put it up as my projection for the month. That is not a psychologically safe culture, is it?
And I think as an industry, we've got accountability to take that. A lot of these businesses have rookie models. They take trainees and they take graduates in. So, you know, let's set them up for success. Let's not set them up to fail.
Yeah.
So one of the kind of things that I do, I've actually worked with a business West recently on their onboarding and induction process, because, you know, the statistic of employees that leave after the first month in the recruitment industry alone is huge. But I think generally we get it so wrong. You know, if we've hired people, there's a reason why they've been hired, and our recruitment process is totally at fault, which is a come on to that. Then we have an accountability. We've hired them for a reason. So what's the disconnect? You know, what can that affect from day one? That feeling on day one change on day 20, day 30, day 365. And it's about, you know, that culture piece, that employee voice, and giving people the space to make mistakes, but own those mistakes as well and put them into practice and make it right.
But do you think, just listening to what you've just said there, I mean, if I was to say to you, we need to hire the right people, we've gone and found the right people, we need to then retain those right people, I think the disconnect comes because a lot of people who are in positions of leadership aren't necessarily the best people to train and induct those people. And that's where someone like you, I think, is the best person to advise and coach on that. I think, you know, it's like you do as I say, servant leadership. You know, well, no, that's not, it's the opposite, servant leadership. You do as I say, come and watch what I do. This is the way I've always done it. Isn't necessarily the best way to retain the best new talent.
Definitely not. And I think leaders, you know, they have a lot of pressure. They've got, you know, their bandwidth and their capacity is stretched very, very thinly. So, you know, I would always advocate that either as a business, are looking at how you can have operationally high in that induction, that onboarding, to make sure that actually that experience is really, really positive for that person. And if not, be in a position, you know, I sound like I'm plugging myself out here, but you know, have somebody that can almost kind of guide and design a process that's fit for the business, fit for your vision, your mission, your values. Because, you know, with the greatest respect, founders, CEOs, people in those positions, their skill set probably is more advantageous in other areas of the business. Yeah. They don't really, yes, it's important to them, absolutely, but they want to be planning and designing what it looks like and setting robust learning. Because 9 times out of 10 they try, and there's a disconnect.
There is, and I think it, you know, I think this comes down to, you know, owning up to yourself where your best skills are. And if you are a founder listening, which I know a lot of people in our amazing community are founders of you know, SME, which is makes up about 90% of the recruitment industry, I think, you know, we have to admit it to ourselves. And, you know, running processes and understanding the psychology around culture and people isn't necessarily where we're best placed. We're probably best placed doing strategic sales and growing areas and, you know, actually hiring the people in, but in terms of actually getting them entrenched in the business and, you know, ensuring that they thrive and that they stay within the business and they don't want to leave that business. And you know, I think that all comes back down to the very first thing that we talked about, which is around that culture of, you know, the right people being in the right positions.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, having a plan in the business, like what a lot of companies, you know, they have these promotion criteria, or then they have a key person that leaves and they go, oh shit, sorry.
Yeah. No, you can swear, it's fine.
You know, they go, oh shit, well, what do we do now? You know, actually have that succession plan, those work conversations on, you know, if left, what are we going to do about it? How would we support the business in this area? I think that, again, really entices a culture of open communication, because people then feel either I know what I'm working towards and I know what that looks like for promotion, or actually this company is not just, I'm not just, you know, being reactive day to day, we're looking at the future. So that should be, there's a real investment that this company wants to grow and wants to get better and essentially be the best that they can face.
And that's how you become a high performing culture, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What are the top three things to know whether if I'm a recruiter now and I'm looking for a new role, or I'm not looking for a new role and I'm looking around going, is this high performing? What are the three things that high performing culture has, if you can? I'm putting you on the spot here, Mel.
The three things for me, like, if you're going into an interview, you want to assess what that looks like. You know, look at those testimonials, look at those stories. High performance culture is not indicative of just 2 to 3 top in a company. Actually, it's consistently across the teams. So I would be wanting to understand, you know, okay, you're telling me that you've got a high performance culture, but how your consultants actually reach or exceed their target monthly?
Yeah.
Look at the retention, you know, look at the promotion, you know, the from trainee to consultant, what is that promotion time from consultant to you know, senior or whatever that kind of career path looks like. Look at the amount of people internally that joined, you know, leadership percentage. So how many people joined as a trainee that now form the leadership team. For me, those things are indicative of high performance cultures. You know, and spokespeople for the company. You know, I know that a lot of people will post a brand on LinkedIn because that is what they're asked to do these days. I actually think you can tell, because I don't profess an expert, but I do research around it, and I'm very, very curious and interested. I think you can tell the people that are genuine.
I agree.
That don't just post because they're being told to, but actually they post because they want to. So I'd be looking at that as well.
I love your answer, because I totally agree with you. I think if you've got a 2-horse race and there's an office of 20 people and everyone else is just about washing their face, that's not a high-performing culture. You've just got 2 exceptional billers. So I agree with everything that Mel has said there. And I think it's got to be consistent, and it has to be, I think, a holistic culture, where this isn't just about we're saying it's high performing, it's clearly on every level where they are leading the charge with its customer care. You know, go and look at testimonials from customers, not just from internal people. What are people saying? What are they doing in terms of sustainability, diversity and inclusion, well-being? It has to be that word, you know, I know, again, it's a word that gets used a lot, but I think for me that is paramount to a high performing culture that is sustainable. We could literally talk for days, couldn't we, Mel? And we should definitely invite you back on.
I know there's a whole host of things that I think as well, just I know we're short a little bit of time, but just as we close this, what I would say as well to any businesses that their HR or their people as kind of, well, a facilitation, like, start to think bigger, because, you know, the amount of opportunities that your team can bring business for you as well. You know, if you've got policies in place, you know, if we look at ED&I stuff, if you look at your commitment to corporate social responsibility, if you're doing things right, look at the value add you can have by doing so. You know, so if you've got someone that's focused on those projects, how can they support your clients? You know,
no, it underpins it. That's what it does. That what you just said there, that last piece, is what underpins what your proposition is to your client, never mind your employees.
Absolutely. I'm not a HR person. I don't push policy. You know, I don't hire and fire. I'm about making a difference, you know, and from sales perspective.
And that's why you are the expert in that field, and I can't believe we managed to get so much info and content into such a short episode, Mel.
It is a short one. I'm sorry. I definitely will come back on again.
You will come back on again. I was going to say it's short and sweet, just like you and me.
Hello.
Oh no, I'm really grateful, and we're very grateful to Zach for letting us use his beautiful office at Croma, because it's absolutely gorgeous there. We've been there ourselves. It's really a great Manchester business. But look, there's going to be loads of people that are going to probably be a bit frustrated, because I think that we've probably just touched on so many areas there. If there's anything else you're more curious about, you want to speak to the expert, Mel is always happy to engage on LinkedIn. You're very professional on LinkedIn, and we will definitely be inviting Mel back later in the year. And that's a definite cert. So watch this space, and we'll make sure she's got a bit longer next time. But thank you so much for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. We are thrilled to welcome to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast a new partner in Keybridge IT. Keybridge provide 24/7 support to all of their customers. Established in 2010, Keybridge IT Solutions is a London-based, fully managed IT support and solutions provider. And for recruiters like me, we all need the IT expert to sort our problems out, whether it's with Microsoft Cloud, Microsoft 365, internet connectivity, security, Microsoft Azure. I mean, all these words actually mean nothing to me. What about you? But so much more than that. They work across many industries, not just recruitment, but if you're listening from the world of leisure or charity or finance or even marketing, they will be able to help. So click on the link in the podcast show and get to know Keybridge IT. We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. The Recruiters Recruitment Podcast is thrilled to be partnering with Inclusion Crowd. Inclusion Crowd put the D into diversity but do it disruptively. We love that. Really reflecting what we're about. I was introduced to Inclusion Crowd back in 2020, and I've been absolutely blown away with what they're doing to totally transform the recruitment and hiring sector. They believe at Inclusion Crowd that companies should be reflective of society, and that no matter who you are listening now, you have a story to tell. You have a contribution to make. An Inclusion Crowd educates you in allowing your voice to come out and share that story, but doing it in a way that educates your colleagues and your customers equally. Inclusion Crowd, like the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, has clients all over the world, and they specialize in our industry. What we all want to do together is to maintain best practice and to raise industry standards to enable us to attract and retain the best talent, but doing so inclusively and with true diversity. By doing this, by accomplishing a true EDI policy within your business, you will also retain the top talent as well as attract new talent, which is a win-win for everybody listening, making more profitable business and a much better industry, highly regarded. Inclusion Crowd are also the official awarding body for the Inclusion and Diversity Certification Mark within recruitment. We are so proud to be assisting and partnering Inclusion Crowd. If you want to know more information, please click on the link in this episode and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when you do so. Now, back to the episode.